If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So this morning, unfortunately, PEPFAR-funded HIV organizations in South Africa will receive their funding through the United States Agency for International Development, USAID. Many of you know of USAID, woke up to letters that were sent overnight telling them that their grants have been ended permanently. I mean, this is quite something. Mia Malan is founder and editor and chief of Big Caesar. Thank you so much, Mia, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome. Good evening, Mia. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you so much for making time for us. It must have been quite horrific to get these letters from all, you know, all the funders. Just yesterday, there was talk of perhaps, you know, things will change. Perhaps there will be a review of all of this. Were you surprised by the letters this morning?
Well, I, of course, didn't receive a letter myself. I'm just a journalist reporting on it. But yes. I think the organizations were most certainly surprised. So the reason they were so surprised is because 2 weeks ago, they were asked to apply for waivers. So we know President Trump said he's going to freeze all aid. And then for the HIV projects, there were certain things that they could continue with. So all these projects who received these letters this morning were actually busy waiting for feedback on those waivers. They resubmitted budgets, they resubmitted work plans, to all the waiver rules, and instead this is what they got. Now, the reason they got it is because there was a court case in America in which two organizations took Trump to court and said, you can't just freeze these funds. And as a result of the court case, one of the responses of the Trump administration was to end all projects. And the reason it happened by midnight was because the court ordered them to explain what they're going to do by midnight. And that is the document that they submitted. It's not just South African projects. Yeah. Around the world, they ended projects.
So around about the end of January, I mean, literally all hell broke loose. This is obviously on the back of Trump's inauguration, where he froze foreign aid and, with all U.S. government-funded programs, as you said, not necessarily just around South Africa. But with that came some level of panic. Did they think at the time that things would end this way? Because, you know, from what I understand, there was hesitation to extend some of, because this is sort of the end of the year, there was hesitation to sign off some of the programs. Did they think there was room, even with the requests that you've just spoken about now, to substantiate some of the budgets and so on, did they think it would end this way?
Well, you know, I think the way things are going at the speed that the Trump administration, you know, is moving with making decisions, they expected anything.
Sure.
Anything was possible. And there was so much confusion, which I think is part of the strategy of the administration. So I don't think they knew what to expect. But I do think they thought that some of the activism, initially when Trump just froze all the aid, there was a lot of civil society pressure to say, no, in the case of HIV projects, that's different. People can die. So as a result, they saw a waiver and they felt some of that pressure, you know, did result in something. And I think if you then wait to hear back from waivers, their expectation was, okay, we won't get everything we want, but at the very least, we'll get some time to shut down our project. So I don't think anyone thought it was going to continue forever.
Yeah.
But what they got now was like shut down overnight. Yeah. There's no time to put systems in place to cope.
You know, let's talk about those possibilities and what that means from tomorrow. You know, I believe some will not be able to go back to work tomorrow. And if they do, it will literally to be conducting, shutting down systems and the lives that will be affected. Mia, do we have an estimate of how many lives will be affected? Those who are direct beneficiary of this program?
I don't have that number for you because, you know, PEPFAR programs are integrated with health department programs. So it's very hard to say. I do think they have targets, you know, of people that they need to reach, but I don't have that number for you.
Yeah.
What I can say is that I don't think any of them are going to work tomorrow. They've been told to shut down with immediate effect. Mm. So yes, they will maybe, you know, some of them essential staff may go back to shutdown. Mm. But to give you an example, the Inova Health Institute in South Africa is a very large NGO that works in the field of HIV treatment. They get the most back for money. They're gone. Mm. Because all their funds have been taken away. And these people, you know, it's not just medication to patients. We pay for the medications, but it's not just the health workers that can't be there. It's also research projects. It's also the future of HIV, you know, that has been researched for decades and really well supported by the US government.
Yeah.
Those studies will just stop now.
And we've been making such good strides in South Africa with that research. We're actually quite world-renowned for that.
Absolutely. You know, there is a brilliant, it's actually called the Brilliant Consortium, HIV Vaccine Trial, which is headed up by our, you know, one of the world-renowned researchers in this country, Glenda Gray, who used to be the head of the South African Medical Council. It's gone. You know, it's they were ready, the drug was developed, the ethical protocols were obtained, the researchers were trained, the field workers were trained. They were ready to start the field work, and they can't now.
We heard how this government responded. In particular, I want to refer to the Minister of Health, who said, look, and actually not him alone, saying they don't fund everything. We do quite a big chunk of that funding of HIV and AIDS programs. But in actual fact, when you look at the numbers, am I correct in saying it's around the 17 billion ballpoint park?
No, it's not 17 billion. It's 17%. So 70% of everything we do to fight AIDS in this country, that relates to the government, comes from PEPFAR. Now, that 70% includes these NGOs, their funding. But remember, all of them, every single thing they do is aligned with the government's plans to, so that they work with the government to, in a very coordinated way, to fight HIV. So 17%. Compared to other African countries, is not that high. But it's still 17% of a budget. And I think the contributions those workers make, so if we say 17% of the budget, I think what they do contribute more than 17% to what we need to do, if you don't look at money, but if you look at the things we need to do. So I do think it's something that South Africa is probably going to cope with and overcome, you know, with time, in a much better way than other African countries who are, you know, dependent on PEPFAR to pay for their medication. But I think the way in which this is being shut down overnight is extremely disruptive and makes it much harder to recover than if we had 3 to 6 months to put systems in place and to shut these programs down gradually.
I heard some NGOs today saying, well, if it's that insignificant, then government must pick up this gap immediately. Do you think it's possible to do that?
Well, you need money to do that. Now, I don't think anyone can come overnight and just fill that fast gap immediately. But I do think we need a plan. Now, the Health Department did publish a sort of a plan on the 11th of February. And one of the things in that plan was to, for instance, give people ARVs for longer at a time. Mm. At the moment, you can get your ARVs for either a month, 2 months, 3 months. Oh, 3 months is the longest that we would give it to you. So you wouldn't have to return to the clinic, you know, every month. You would only have to go 3 months. Mm-hmm. And the idea of 6 months is to say that then the clinics wouldn't be so overburdened and the health workers wouldn't have to see these patients. But the plan, the circular that they distributed was very confusing. For instance, it wasn't clear who would qualify for 6 months treatment and who not. There was confusion about it. In fact, there were incorrect things in that circular. And there's certainly in civil society, they've written a letter to the health department saying they want a clearer plan. And they're very upset that the health department hasn't responded. And I can tell you, me as a journalist, you know, I'm used to dealing with the health department, and I have found them very difficult during this time. Generally, I don't have a lot of communication problems with them. But in this case, they've been avoiding responding to things. To ask them, where's the updated circular? It just doesn't come because there isn't one. So I do think there's a lack of leadership in the case of the National Health Department when it comes to this crisis.
Sure. Appreciate your time and clarifying some of those facts. Founder and editor-in-chief of Vicky Caesar, Mia Malan. Thank you so much for your time.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.